Matthew chapter 5, if you'll look there with me, is our text. If you're able to stand in reading of this scripture, please stand with me. In Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read a couple of verses. Very familiar passage, by the way, but we are obviously in Missions Emphasis Month, and you'll see that this passage is really speaking about that particular subject. As the Lord writes, and beginning in verse 14, Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel," that is a basket, "but on a candlestick," that is kind of like a lampstand, "and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let us pray together. Father, thank you for the sweet spirit we have felt already in this service. The songs have just encouraged our hearts. Thank you for our young people that have slipped off to their children's church service and for the workers that we have. And God, speak through their heart as well through the message they'll receive. But Lord, I pray now that all of us will be open and receptive to your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we live in a free country. Lord, thank you that we can come together in this fashion to worship you freely, Lord, as we do. And Lord, we do pause to reflect upon those today that have lost loved ones in 9/11. And thank you, Lord, for their sacrifice when it comes to our military, Lord, who have fought in past wars, Lord, that we can continue to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. Now be with these families and give them comfort today. And God, just thank you for America. Thank you for the freedoms that we so enjoy. And Lord, bless again the reading and preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Again, I love this passage. Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick or a lampstand, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus, in this passage, it gives us all a challenge as believers to shine like the light in darkness. Now, some may say, my faith is a private thing. I've had somebody recently tell me that. And they were a believer. They professed to be a Christian, and they said, "Preacher, I don't do a lot of witnessing or whatever, because really my faith is a private thing." First of all, we should be proud of our faith, right? Should not be something that we're ashamed of. And I'm not saying this person was, but yet, when you don't want to share your faith, then the only other option is to hold it in and nobody gets to know. And I'm thankful that that didn't happen with me, that somebody shared with me how I can trust Christ as my Savior. And I'm here today because of that. And so Jesus is not saying for us to keep our faith private. Matter of fact, Jesus is saying that for a true believer, it's not a private thing, that we need to let our light so shine that the lost may see Jesus in us. And that's important, and that's one of the reasons for missions and why we support missions. We send missionaries to a foreign land as a local church, but more than that, as a church, we partner with missionaries in what they're trying to accomplish, and that is to get the gospel to a dark world, wherever it may be that they're going to, so that they can be that light that shines. Now, we're not able to go personally, maybe, to a particular field as a missionaries, but yet we can again partner with these missionaries and be a light that shines in our own community and around us, as we try to be just the simple thing as a gospel blitz, as we told you about, going out and giving out little cards that give information about our church. But more than that, there's a gospel presentation that if somebody reads that and truly applies that scripture to heart, they can know Christ as Savior. At least they can be led in that way, and be that we're to be that light. There are various ways, but I want to consider a few things this morning. First of all, if you're taking notes, I want us to consider the qualities of light. We're talking about the subject today is let your light so shine. But as we look into this matter of what Jesus was talking about, we need to first of all consider the qualities of light. Now, light requires energy source. I'm sure we all know that. Where does light energy come from? Where there are really two energy sources that I've studied up on, and it's not hard to figure out. First of all, it's natural. That's one energy source that we get light from, is just the natural source of light that we have. And then there's the artificial, which comes in the way of chemical or nuclear or thermal or just some other artificial sources that may be out there. But light requires an energy source. Simply having a bulb, a fixture, and some wire does not guarantee that light will be emitted. We know that when a storm hits, right? When a storm hits, there must be a connection to a source of energy. I mean, I know a few years ago when we had a hurricane. What was the last hurricane that moved through here? I don't know if it was that was the day that Johnny jumped off a rooftop. I remember that, and broke two ankles. And so you're about how old, Johnny? I know he's saying I shouldn't have had to. I didn't have to say that. But anyway, our lights went out for 2 days. And matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something else. When that happened, my wife was in the middle of cooking a good fried dinner. Well, the lights had come on before that. All right, right. She was cooking a southern fried chicken dinner. I mean, we were out power for 2 days, and so we were having to cook up some stuff that was in the freezer. So, you know, nothing better than to cook some southern fried chicken, right? So she was in the kitchen cooking southern fried chicken, almost done. I could smell it. I was working in the yard that day, I remember. I could smell it cooking, and boy, the longer I was out in the yard and smelling that, the hunger I was getting. Then all of a sudden, who was it? Timmy comes running up the street. Dad, you got to come down here. Why? Well, Johnny jumped off a rooftop. Actually, it was a part of a garage that he jumped off of, went out the window and decided, hey, I can make this. And he jumped, and he broke both ankles. And I didn't want to leave that chicken behind. Because I'm going to tell you, I knew from then on what was going to happen. Now, this sounds selfish, but I had to miss my southern fried chicken dinner, because where do you think we ended up for most of the evening? We were in the emergency room. So I didn't get to enjoy that good southern fried chicken dinner. Because the lights had been out for 2 days, the power source is out, and now we're going to have a good meal, and all that took place. But I've had a good one since, so it's... John 12, verse 46, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world. Jesus says that whosoever believeth on or in me should not abide in darkness. Our light today, our energy source today, is what Jesus is referring to here in that verse, that He is our energy source. Jesus Christ is our energy source that never runs out. You know, we may lose the energy source from, you know, what man has come up with in society, but Jesus is our energy source. Matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He'll be the same for how long? Forever. He's our energy source. Thank God for that. Light requires an energy source, and for us to let our light so shine, as Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5, then we need to have an energy source. And having Jesus in your light, me in your life, means that number one, He is your energy source, and that two, the only way that He became your energy source is that you invited Him into your life to be your Savior at one point of your life, and He became that light. Light has only one main purpose for existence. When you think about it, and one main purpose, there are other purposes, but one main is really to dispel the darkness. And just a little light will do that. Now imagine sitting in this auditorium and having all the windows closed and the lights are out and there's no natural light to come in. We'd be in pitch darkness. But let one person strike a match, which, please don't do that, but let that one person strike a match, and then, of course, we see the darkness chased away. You see, the light of one small match would dispel that darkness in an entire room. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not of what they stumble." In John chapter 1 in verses 4 and 5, it says, "In him was life," speaking of Jesus, "and life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." In other words, it has not overcome it. Our kids have just left. I should have held them in here to help me sing this song. But there's a children's song that we sing, and I still sing it to my grandkids. I've sung it to all my boys growing up, and the song goes like this: "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Now, I'm not going to try to lead you in that, because I'm usually in the car with my grandboys, and they have to help Pop sing it, because Pop's done forgotten most of the words. But that's how it gets started. Let this light of mine shine, okay? This little light. You know, the kids love that. Boy, when I get that started, and they know what it means. You know, especially don't let Satan blow it out, you know? Don't hide it under a bushel. You know, let it shine, let it shine. You know, there's some meaning to that song, isn't it? You know, it doesn't take a huge searchlight to make a difference, doesn't it? You know, our city is, you know, we're about close to 40,000 people population-wise, I think, in Prattville, not counting the River Region area, quite a few people. We have a lot of people to reach. Now, we are in the Bible Belt, being in the South. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's saved in the South, right? You know that's not the case. John Tigard, I told you the story about him having to learn that when he first went out door knocking and trying to help us on that first visit, he came back saying that, "Preacher, I found that everybody in Prattville is saved, going to heaven." But no, that's not the case. You know, in the Bible Belt, sadly, there are a lot of people think because that mom and dad went to church they've been going to this church for years, they must be going to heaven. We've got to reach our community with the gospel. How do we do that? Let our light shine. We let our light shine. What light? That energy source that shines through us, which is Jesus Christ. Now, light is no value if it is hidden. The Bible says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." That's kind of like a stand, you know, of sort. "And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." To keep a light hidden away is to render it useless. You know, it's not logical to hide light, but rather to put it where the light can be most effective. Jesus was, in verse 15, Jesus was drawing upon their common sense to make a point. His point is that we're to let our light shine. How? Put it on a candlestick. Let it be something that shines in our community. Why put it on a candlestick? Well, obviously, it is seen. And the only ones that can let the light shine, as Jesus is making reference to here, is the local church. We send forth missionaries around the world, but these missionaries that we partner with, they're not able to let their light shine unless there's a local church that helps to undergird them and support them, like a church like ours. Missionaries go to these foreign lands, but they go there not able to work like an everyday job that we work here. They have to gain support. Now, they work. Don't think that I'm trying to make them sound like they're lazy, because they're working, doing the Lord's work in ministry. But the country they're working in, and they're not allowed to work a job of sort. They shouldn't have to. They're going there to build a church, and to every day they're working to get the gospel out. And it's hard work doing what these missionaries do. But yet the local church is who undergirds these missionaries. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. It's the local church that is to let be that light that shines around the world. Now let me just say this. We're seeing a dwindling of attendance in our local churches in America. There's a falling away, obviously. Well, I mean, we've seen that in our church, and every church has seen the numbers drop. The Southern Baptist Convention has shockingly come out this year with numbers that really has shocked the nation when it comes to their numbers that have dropped, when it comes to baptisms and so forth. But it's across the world, the world, in some cases, but more so in America. America has been that light that has shined around the world. But you allow the churches in America to begin to close their doors, which some are happening. Then what happens to these missionaries that we partner with? Well, they can't stay on the field unless they have the local church to help undergird them. Oh, it's important that church, we stay strong for God. That we let our light so shine. You see, a candle that is placed low in a room is not as effective in giving forth light as one that is placed up on the candlestick or the lampstand. Some would say, hey, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, that is a true statement. You know, that's true, but for a Christian to have an impact on the lost in this world, we need to be obedient in our walk with Christ. And part of that impact of being obedient in our walk with Christ, yes, is being faithful in the local New Testament church and undergirding that church. And by the way, until we begin to take seriously the calling of God upon our lives and what God has intended for us and why we're still here, then we never begin to reach the world for Christ. You know, if God had a reason to, when He saved us, just take us on out of here, He would have done that. I mean, really, what is our purpose for staying around when once we get saved? I mean, heaven's a great place to be. We've been talking about that in our adult Sunday school class in here. In Revelations 21 and 22, it talks all about heaven, something to look forward to. And you read passages like that as a believer. I mean, you just long for heaven. We should. The older we get, the more we should long for heaven. But you know what? God keeps us around because His light needs to shine. I mean, some of you, your mission field is your workplace. Some of you, your mission field may be your family members or whatever. That may be your mission field. But yet, obviously, we need to stay and undergird the local church and be supportive of that. Until we begin to take those things seriously, you know, then we won't reach our world for Christ. And it starts in our Jerusalem, doesn't it? Oh, listen, we need to consider the light, but so how must we take seriously, preacher, our calling? How should we take seriously our calling? Well, Jesus says, let your light so shine. That's as He starts out in Matthew chapter 5. We take seriously our calling by letting our light shine. What good is light that is not shining? Now, this light right here is no good. Have you noticed that? We thought about changing today. I said, no, we're going to leave it like that. It blew this past week. It's serving no purpose right now. Matter of fact, it's really hindering me up here. Because when it's lighting up, it helps me. The more light, especially up here, I need some light to be able to see. I'm getting older. I went to the eye doctor the other day and found out I'm getting older. All right? But that light, there's a bulb in it, by the way. There's a bulb. But I guarantee you, when you take that globe off, you're going to find that bulb is probably dark, black looking, and it's no good. It's worthless. What are we going to do when we take the bulb out? Well, we're going to take it out and what? Throw it away. Serves no purpose anymore. And my point is, hidden light is of no value. You know, we can say we have the source of light in our life, and we know we have the energy source in our life. But if it's hidden under that basket, much like this light is of no use, then it's of no value. I mean, we go in the doctor's office, we sit there, and sometimes we don't know what to say, but sometimes Like Miss Ollie Ruth said the other day, she was telling me, "Preacher, I'm just going to be a witness." And she is over there at the Health South where she's at. Matter of fact, she told me a few days ago that, you know, she didn't like being away from home, but her attitude was she's going to try to be that witness that God would have her to be while she's there. That's what a light source does. Sometimes we're placed in situations in life where it's uncomfortable around people sometimes that we don't like, or we're uncomfortable around them. But the greatest thing that we can do is to let our light so shine. I have neighbors on both sides of me, which I'm sure you do if you live in a neighborhood. And I'm new in this area where I'm at, so I haven't really had an opportunity one-on-one to catch them where I can really witness to them. But they know I'm a preacher. And you know, I know one neighbor, he used to have a few parties along the way. He's kind of cleaned that up. I don't know if it's because of me or whatever. I hope I've been in some influence or whatever because of that. But yet, I've noticed they'll come to me now and we get to talk. We're building a relationship. And it's not anything that I've done any different. I don't preach to them or whatever, but I'm trying to let the light shine because I want to reach them. If they don't know the Lord, I want to reach them. You know, you got people you work with the same way. You know, sometimes, you know, it doesn't do us good to go right into preaching to them and boy, laying it out on the line, but let God be that light that shines through us to where they see something that they want. Let that light shine. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus walked the face of the earth, he was a light. When he was walking the face of the earth for 33 years, that's why that people would follow after him and people would want to know more about Jesus. Your light that fulfills its purpose must shine, right? Jesus commanded that we are lights that shine before others. You know, we're the light of the world. Note that Jesus, he didn't say that we're to be the light of the world. He says that we are the light. He didn't say that we're to be the light. He said we are the light. Now, we are the light if Jesus is in our life, if he's that energy source. If our light shines only in the building today, in this building today, and it's easy to do, right? To let our light shine, we get up and sing Glory to His Name and all these other songs that we would sing and glorify His name, I guess that's it, and some great songs. We can let our light shine in here, but you know, we leave this building, that's where the real test comes. It's easy to let our light shine before our family. But the real test comes. What about people at work? What about people at school, young people? If our light shines only for our family then and our church members, then really we're not fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to do. We need to let our light shine. Thirdly, how do we let our light shine? Very simply, give you some things to think about. Number one, by loving people passionately with the love of Christ. We love people passionately with the love of Christ. Now, we must depend on the Lord of love to put His compassion for people in our hearts, right? I don't have a compassion for people around the world that I've never seen. But boy, when I learn about these people, when I learn through the missionary, and that's one of the reasons why we have missionaries here. They'll come and they'll introduce their particular field to us. And when they learn and they pour out their heart, I'm going to be honest, at the end of the week, my heart is broken for people in places I've never been before. How does that happen? Well, it's the love of God that comes through these missionaries, or it's the love of God that anytime, if you've ever been around the country, how many of you have been outside the U.S. before? Okay, many of you. And I know that you could probably testify that outside the country, wherever you've been, that you've probably run into people just like us. When the first time I went to Guatemala, that was my first mission field I ever been to. I didn't know what to expect. I was scared to death. But I realized, hey, there's some Christian people in Guatemala, but there's lost people there too. I mean, they worship God the same way we worship God. We come together. When I went to Australia, same thing. Boy, they have church service. These are Baptist churches, so I guess Baptists are known. They start out with pretty much the same order of service. And boy, they have a great time. But you know what? They need Jesus. You know, that passion, that compassion that we're to have for others around the world only comes through loving Jesus. One preacher said, every saved person this side of heaven should be concerned about every lost person this side of hell. Oh, that's true. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, that is when he went ashore, much people, that is a great crowd, was moved with compassion toward them. And he was moved with great compassion toward them, this crowd, because they were as sheep, or like sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. In other words, Jesus saw them as helpless. He saw these people starving and lacking in spiritual guidance and protection. And they were exposed to the perils of sin and spiritual destruction. You know, when we go to work every day and we go to our school or we're around family members or whatever, you know, we have to look through the eyes of Jesus to be able to enjoy, or at least to appreciate his compassion. To love people the way Jesus loved people. You know, we go to a ball game, and I don't know how many was at Alabama Stadium yesterday or Auburn Stadium, but I've been to these ball games before, and I've thought this before, not trying to sound super spiritual, but I've, you know, in times past I've thought, well, I wonder how many really know the Lord in this stadium. I'm sure there are many, but you know, that's 80,000. Yesterday, Tennessee and Virginia Tech played in the, racetrack in Bristol, Tennessee. They said it holds 150,000 people. And I looked out, man, that was, first of all, it's too big for me. Can you imagine the traffic trying to get to that ball game? But you look around and you see those people, 150,000 people. I mean, there's a lot of souls there, right? That need Jesus. When you look at them, you see many in that crowd. Yeah, some are helpless. I don't imagine there's too many at a ball game like that are starving. But yet, they're starving for spiritual guidance. They're hungry for someone to tell them about the Lord. And we go into our workplaces and we go out into our community. There are people much like that every day. We have to love people passionately. Secondly, if we're going to be the light to shine, we need to intercede for them persistently. Paul describes the lost as being spiritually blind and therefore cannot see light. Only God can give sight to the spiritually blind, right? Only God can do that. Pray that they have eyes that are open to the gospel. The blind need someone to intercede. Sometimes you ever see a blind person like that, you have a tendency to want to help that blind person. I saw one the other day had a dog that's helping lead them around. That dog was interceding for that person. Well, we have people around us that are blind when it comes to the spiritual light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." What does that mean? It's hid to them that are perishing, in whom the god of this world, the god means the Satan of this world, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know what, church, and I know you know this, without a godly influence, then the lost are left to follow the world system that Satan has created. Can you imagine, and this is going to happen one day, when the church is taken out of here? We think things are bad right now in our society. We think immorality is bad. We think sin is really running rampant. But when God's people are going to be taken out of here during the tribulation period of time, the devil's going to ramp it up, especially after that first 3.5 years. You think things are bad now. We don't know bad. Thank God we won't have to worry about being around. But some of our friends and family that are lost are going to be around. We need to intercede for them persistently. And then number three, we need to go to them with purpose. The Great Commission clearly places the responsibility upon us. If you read Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it tells us that we must go. There's the word go in that passage. And what is he telling us to do? Go teach all nations. Go make disciples. Go and preach the gospel. You know, we cannot wait for the lost to come to us. We've had a few lost people over the years that's come through this church because they just happen to ride by maybe and decide they're going to stop. But most people who do that, who happen to ride by or stop, are saved people that come in and find a seat. But you know what? The lost people, we got to go get them. They're out there. They're in our neighborhoods. And you know, we have to have the purpose of reaching them. And we do have a purpose. God says to go. We can't wait for them to come to us. The New Testament pattern is for us to purposely go to those who must hear. If we don't go, they'll not hear. If they don't hear, what happens? They don't get saved. I'm thankful that I had a preacher in Wayne Kimbrough when I was a little boy who was persistent to keep coming to my house. I got saved in his church, 7 miles outside the city here. Got saved at his church, his 11-year-old boy. And I'd go to the altar every service. His 11-year-old boy, I'd go to the altar and I'd pray for my mom and dad to come to know Jesus. Because I realized that, hey, I had Jesus, but they didn't. And I'd go to the altar every service. But something this preacher did, Brother Wayne, that really I look back and I appreciate his persistence and his, because he had a purpose. Every Thursday night, he was knocking at our door. To the point that my mom knew that, hey, she could not have her cigarette sitting out. She'd hide her ashtrays because my mom smoked, and she didn't want the preacher to know about that or see it, although he knew. But yet, out of respect to the preacher, that's what she did. You know, it wasn't long after he kept persistently coming by, my mom and dad came to know Jesus as Savior. Because he was persistent, but he knew that his calling was to go. All of us. We need to go with a purpose. And you know, if we don't go, they won't hear. If he didn't go to my mom and dad as he did, as persistent as he was, I may not be able to say they're in heaven today. But I'm glad to say they are. Because he was persistent. He kept going. He had a purpose. And then we know, number four, we need to help them practically. You know, our light really shines when we care for people in Jesus' name. You know, we can say we care for people around the world, but really, the only way we can care for these people around the world is in Jesus' name. There's no way that we can really know these people around the world, and just like maybe some of our neighborhood, we may not know them, but the only way we can care for people around us every day or in our neighborhood is that we have to care for them in Jesus' name. We meet a lot of odd people every day, don't we? I mean, there's a lot of odd people in our society today. I mean, from how they dress to how they color their hair to how they look or walk, there's a lot of that today. Lifestyles are different, and a lot of it we don't condone and would not condone from a biblical standpoint, but you know what? I'm glad that Jesus didn't look at race. I'm glad he didn't look at lifestyle, but when he went to the cross, the Bible says for he died for the whole world. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I've learned this, when Jesus truly saves your heart and your soul, God cleans you up. There's a desire to clean up. And God does that. I didn't, you know, I wasn't bad. Well, my mom would tell you I was bad as 11-year-old. But I didn't know a lot of bad stuff. But some of you can say, well, preacher, when I got saved, and truly when I got saved, God cleaned me up. God does that. But the only way we can reach people who are maybe in our viewpoint are odd or different or whatever, or immoral, and there are a lot like that around us, is to look at them the way Jesus looks at them and have that same care and concern. Someone said people will begin to care what they say, what we say when we see how much we care. I remember when I was at Thomas Road Baptist Church, I've shared this story when I was under ministry there at Jerry Falwell, Liberty. Went to church at Thomas Road Baptist Church there, and I've shared this before. Every Sunday nearby, there was protesters in front of the church with signs. Remember one sign that the homosexual group had, they were out protesting, and one of the signs was three crosses, and the middle cross was a frog that was nailed upside down. I don't know what the purpose was that, what it was for, but something that really got my attention as a college student is that Jerry Falwell would set up coffee and donuts for these folks every Sunday. Every Sunday, he'd feed them coffee and donuts. They'd come by, protesters now. Now, they weren't allowed to come into church to protest, but they could protest all they want outside. He'd feed them coffee and donuts. Most of them wouldn't take advantage of that. They didn't want anything. They wanted to protest. What was he doing? Well, his purpose was to show the love of Christ. You don't care about what I have to say, but let me tell you about what Jesus has to say. And so that's the way he would try to at least reach them with the love of Christ. Now, that may be an odd way for some people, but you know, there are people sometimes we pass the street and we won't have anything to do with them because they look different, they act different or whatever, but we have to care for them because Jesus cares for all. We need to help them practically. And then lastly, we need to tell them plainly. Tell them plainly, there will come a moment when the Spirit gives you an opportunity to share what Jesus means to you. And when God gives you that moment to share what Jesus means to you, then God expects us to share it plainly, right? Jesus says the result, if we share the gospel message plainly and clearly, the result will be that God would be glorified. You know, if we don't plainly tell them why we do what we do, they'll be praising us, but not God. It's not about us. It's all about God. So how do we let our light shine? By what these words spell. It spells light. Love, intercede, go, help, and tell. With our light shine before others. Why do we do that? Well, in closing, there are three ways that we can apply this message. Three ways, and he don't have this on the screen. I added to it, or the Lord did. Number one, we should be a light individually. That's how we do it. You say, well, that's for the missionary to be that light, preacher. That's why we pay you a salary, preacher. That's why, we have people that are called to do this. But we're all called. Jesus, when he says in Matthew, let your light so shine, he wasn't saying that's just for the preachers or the missionaries. That's for all of us that profess to know Christ as Savior. And how do we do that? Well, we start individually. We let our light so shine. It's an individual thing. And then we should be a light as a family. Ephesians chapter 5 indicates that our marriages and families are to represent Christ, right? As a husband and wife, one of the things that we do is that we establish our homes on the right principles and the foundation of God's Word. And we let our light so shine as families. And we do that, then others can see Christ. You see, when hurting families, and there's a lot of them in our society, this is a wonderful opportunity that when we experience hurting families, they can look at our life maybe and say, well, you know, I want what they have. What is it? That's Jesus. And then we should let our light shine as the church. In the book of Revelation, the local church is compared to a lampstand. And we should support the local church events and programs that are collective attempts at shining light. You know, I'm talking about our evangelistic outreach as a church, such as our visitation. We talked about our gospel blitz. Boy, we ought to get behind those things. And some of you may not be able to walk the streets or whatever, but boy, there's something else that you can do, and that's pray. Well, all these things are going on. But we can support our missions and our missions conference and things of this nature. You know, it's a sacrifice for some, but it's a way of saying, hey, I'm gonna be supportive of getting that gospel out, letting our lights shine. Jesus says, let your light shine. The question I close with this morning, are you obedient to that command? You know, preacher, I support missions. Well, that's great. But are you letting your light shine individually? Are you letting your light shine when God gives you an opportunity and God will open up doors of opportunity to be a witness? Are you letting your light shine? Are we looking for the opportunities to let our light shine? You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own things of life, and I point a finger at myself as much as you, that we have to take the time to look for opportunities that God brings our way to let our light shine, because they're there every day. Have you noticed that? There are opportunities that God brings our way every day, people that we come in contact with every day, that you ever pass up an opportunity, you think, boy, I missed it. That opportunity may not come your way again when it comes to that particular person. So let's take advantage and redeem the time, God says, that He's given us to be that witness and to let our light shine. With everybody's head bowed as we stand and pray this morning, and we go in this time of invitation, and I realize this is a message that probably not something you haven't heard before, because it's a message that Jesus preached when He walked the face of the earth. Throughout the Gospels we see it. But it's a message that we have to be reminded of, because we get complacent. And I know we're all guilty of that from time to time. And I want to challenge you to maybe search your heart this morning. Is there a person that God's laid on your heart that maybe needs to know the Lord? Is there something that God is convicting you about this morning, an unconfessed sin or whatever? Or maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. This invitation is for you this morning to make that right. And we have counselors that are willing to talk with you, people that pray with you if need be. The altars are open for whatever your need is this morning. You come if God's speaking to you. Father, oh Lord, I know that many of us in this room know what this moment's about. Very important moment in our church where decisions are being made. Some are being made right now at the pew, and some will be made at the altar. But God, help us not to be flippant in our attitudes about an invitation. But God, as Christians, may we be praying and seeking your guidance. And Lord, for that lost soul that's here in our midst today, may they realize their need of a Savior. May God, we have the love and the compassion that God, you'd have us to have, Lord, for those around us. And Lord, that we would leave here in a moment, letting our light so shine, not just today when it's convenient, but every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.